just in passing, but really would just never commit to a study. But then at one point she said, yeah, we'll do that, but never would give me a day or a time. And so I thought, if the time comes, I've got to have something prepared that I can get the point over to her of how one becomes a Christian. The point that the fact that you must be immersed into Christ, there's no exception to that. You've got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. She believes in God. She believes the Bible. She believes the Bible is the Word of God. And so, didn't need to start with the Bible is the Word of God. Maybe a lesson on authority would be good. She believed all of those things. And so, what we're going to study tonight is what I put together for that study, of which I have not had with her. But when the time comes, guess what? I'm prepared. And I keep it with me. And when the time comes and she says, yes, I will study with you, I believe I'm probably going to have one shot with her. But this is the lesson that I'll do with her. I'm going to hand it out to you. And I did not do that before the class on purpose, because I want us to go through it just as I'm going to go through with her. When I give it to you, I want you to do nothing with the lesson. Nothing. It's front and back. And there's nothing on the inside, okay? Nothing on the inside on purpose. And so I designed it that way, that I'm going to go over the front before this person or anybody you study with would just simply open it up and look at this side. So when I give it to you, you leave it on this side. Don't turn it over. Don't do anything with it. Don't do nothing. Double negative. Nothing at all, okay? Just take a second to hand them out. And so you keep this. If you don't mark on it tonight, then if you want to... This side here that says being in Christ. If you don't want to mark on it... Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Then you just save it, and you can run copies off, or if you want to mark on it, you let me know and I'll make you copies when it comes time that you... that you're going to study with folks, but do absolutely nothing with it. I think we'll have enough. If not, I can run some off really quick. Actually, I will have one extra one up here if we need it. And so, if I were going to study with someone and use this lesson, now again, you can use any lesson you want to. As long as you get the job done, it don't matter what you use. As long as it's true to the book, gets the job done. If you say, Donnie, I don't want to use any, then don't use anything. Use your Bible, but you got to be prepared. So you need... I take notes in mine. I fill mine full of notes. And I suggest you do that if you need to. Did everybody get one? Does anybody need anything to write with? Out of some pencils. And appreciate myself. Thank you. Does everybody have something to write with? And it's okay. Go ahead and mark on it tonight, and I'll give you a blank copy if you want to use it. But I've done this as a Bible class before, radio, TV program. I've preached it as a sermon. You can take anything you do like that, by the way, and turn it into good material, printed material to give to folks. But this lesson focuses on being in Christ. You cannot, I promise you this, you cannot go over the front side of this and miss the point. And the people that you study with, they don't know what you know about the Bible. And I don't say that haughty or with arrogance, but folks in the religious world don't know what you know about the Bible. Now, they may know a lot about other, just in a general idea, good Bible knowledge, and maybe how the Bible is made up and so forth. But when it comes to salvation, they don't know what you know about the Bible. They don't know what you know about how to get into Christ. They don't hear it. By and large, folks just simply don't hear it. And so they don't know it. They don't know when you go through this about being in Christ and the things found in Christ, they have no idea. Now they may have read it before, but I guarantee you they have not made the conclusion that you already know, but I want you to understand that we're going through this as though the person you're studying with just don't know. And chances are they don't. So peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. 1 Peter 5 verse 14. Peace be with who? All that are in Christ Jesus. And so this lesson is going to focus on being in Christ. Number one, I would just simply I'd have my sheet. I would have that person have the sheet. And I'm just going to simply go through number 1 through 12. And I'm going to have them open up in their own Bible and look at the text in the book of Romans chapter 3 and then verse 24. You're not going to get sidetracked by things that are not related. This lesson is just simply on being in Christ. Romans chapter 3 verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace. Now they may say, well, don't you believe you're saved by grace? Well, we're not talking about that. Yes, I do. But we're not talking about that. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption. Someone finish that. That is in Christ Jesus. And just simply ask that person, Lucas, where is redemption at? In Christ Jesus. That's what the verse says. There's just no guessing about that. We don't have to wonder about that. That's just simply what it says. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now they might ask you a question. Well, what does it mean to be redeemed? And that's fine to go ahead and answer that briefly. But don't let them lose sight of the fact you're talking about in Christ. And redemption, to be purchased, to be bought, is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It's already 15 after, so we'll go through these somewhat, pick up the pace. But Romans chapter 8 and in verse 1. There is now no condemnation to those who are where? In Christ Jesus. Well, Donnie, what does it mean there is therefore now? No, that's not what we're talking about. I just want you to see the point that there is no condemnation where? In Christ Jesus. What's the context of Romans chapter 8? That's not what we're talking about. I want you to see the point that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Now we can go back and look at that if they want to, but for this study, I don't want them to lose sight of the fact that we're talking about in Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then verse 2.
Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah, now the point about that one is there is what in Christ Jesus? Sanctification. Now that, put these up for that. The first one is going back, talked about redemption. Now again, I've made the point several times, don't get sidetracked, but just so that you'd have the information, redemption has the idea of what? If they do ask you, say it again.
Purchase, bought.
Yeah, purchase. Something that is been redeemed or bought back. And you can, if I can use some other notes, you can take note of this in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood. And, of course, the verse in the text, but then Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, and gives some examples, but with what? the precious blood of Christ. And so if they ask you about that, you can give them some references, whatever. My point is, you don't want to spend a bunch of time answering questions to the point that they miss what you're trying to get them to see. All the things that are in Christ, the significance of being in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, when he talked about no condemnation, he said, therefore there is now no condemnation. What do you mean now, Paul? Well, what's the context? There is therefore now no condemnation. What's Romans really drilling down? What's the theme of it? The purpose of it?
That means once you're in Christ.
Yeah. That salvation is in Christ, not in the Old Testament law of Moses. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. You cannot be justified or saved without Christ. And then sanctification, number 3, has the idea of what? What's to be sanctified mean? Say it again, Blair.
Set apart.
Yeah, set apart. And you can give passages that talk about that. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians 6:18, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. In fact, Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to the saints that are at Rome. It's the idea of sanctified. Some other passages talk about it. When Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians 6 through 9, but now you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. It's 1 Corinthians 6:11. But it has the idea of being sanctified. That's what the word saint, saint is a noun, of course, and sanctification is a verb. It's a verb of action to be set apart. But number 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19.
In this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men the most suitable.
Yeah, where is hope at?
In Christ.
In Christ. And you can't read these verses. I don't care. If you're talking to somebody, they can read. And I'm not saying everybody that you talk to can read. I understand that. So the people that can't read, you got to work around that. But if they're reading that or listening to you, how difficult do you think it would be for them to miss the point? Hope is found where? In Christ. Other places that I talk about there, 1 Thessalonians 13 through 18 and Revelation 14, 13. About being dying in Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14.
Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place.
Now it causes us to what in Christ? Triumph. To overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. The book of Revelation talked about that several times. A great theme of Revelation. Revelation 17:14 talks about that. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. We can triumph. We have victory in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Yeah. What is in Christ? We're a new creature in Christ. Some versions say new creation. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, how did he get in there? Well, we're not talking about that. We'll get there. But I want you to see the point. Galatians 2:4. Yeah, what is in Christ Jesus according to that passage?
Liberty.
Liberty. trying to bind circumcision, and in essence we'll be binding the law of Moses, and he would later say in Galatians 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. That yoke of bondage they were trying to put on the neck of the first century disciples was the law of Moses, to try to bring them into bondage. And we have liberty where at? In Christ. Galatians 3:26. And y'all going to read 27. And y'all going to read 28 and 29. But you're going to have them read verse 26. Which says what?
You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
For you are all the children of God by faith. Where? And if I were studying Belvis, and Belvis was not a Christian. Now, Belvis, where is an individual in Christ, a child of God by faith? What would you say, Belvis?
In Christ.
Well, how do you know that?
Because the text says so.
That's what the Bible says so. I don't have to guess about it. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places.
Oh, so we're blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, located where? In Christ. Well, doesn't the Bible talk about physical blessings? Sure does. That's not what we're talking about. And I keep emphasizing that because I promise you, you're going to study with folks who will ask you everything under the sun, except many times what you have before them. Why do you think people do that? What do you think? You're studying with someone and they say, well, how often should we take the Lord's Supper? And you're studying with them about how to become a Christian. What do you think about the Holy Spirit? What about in the Old Testament with Uzzah? Why do you think many times individuals do that? Now, I'm not saying be suspect every time someone asks you a question unrelated, but I can tell you many times what's the reason. Okay, they don't know.
They've been taught.
Been taught? I'm saying, why do you think you're studying with someone about a particular Bible topic, conversion, how to become a Christian, and they bring up questions completely unrelated? Have you ever had that happen to you?
They're trying to get away from that subject because you've sort of got them.
Yeah, I think so. Many times when folks come face to face with what the Bible says, rather than answer it and admit it and accept it, they divert their attention and try to yours too, to something completely unrelated, because if they realize, well, that means that I'm not saved. That means I'm not a Christian. That means I'm not in Christ. That means I don't have these things. It's easier than to face that to go to something else. And you've got to be careful with that. Don't let them do that. You've got to have some level of confrontation. We talked about that before. And that doesn't mean being mean with someone. But you've got to get them to see that they're not in the Lord's camp. They're not on the Lord's side. And you want them to be because you love them, you care for their soul, and you want them to go to heaven. But as is, they are not saved. And you want them to understand that. And most of the time they do when you study with them. But I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 13 with the parable of the sower. What did the devil do? The word was sown in their heart, but then Satan came along and did what? Took it out, snatched it away. And he'll do the same thing with folks today. You put the seed in there, and if you don't get them to stick with it, Satan will just snatch it away from them before they even obey it. We're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, number 8. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:30, number 10, or 9. And then number 10, Ephesians 1:7.
In Him we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace.
And what do we have? Forgiveness of sins. And where does the text say forgiveness of sins is?
In
in Him. Well, who's the in Him? You got to find out who that pronoun goes to, and who is it more? Yeah, go back to verse 5. It was the nearest noun to which the pronoun has to agree. Well, I'm not into all that grammar stuff. We better be into it, at least to that extent. We're going to miss the point when we get to who received the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I got a nice little exercise for you when we get to that chapter that will nail that down for you. But it is in Christ that we have forgiveness of sins. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 1. According to the, what is it again, Mark? The promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. He's not talking about physical life. We have promise of eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Sinner folks are alive today, right? So he's not talking about a physical life. He's talking about eternal life, and that is only where? In Christ. And then 2 Timothy 2:10. Number 12.
Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
That they may obtain what?
Salvation.
And where is that salvation at? In Christ Jesus. That is, folks, it's simple. That's so simple. Now, if you were to ask an individual you're studying with after they have seen that, they've read that, is salvation in Christ, if they were to look at you and say, no, there's a problem. And it's not with what the text says, but a person's dishonest. And I don't mean that unkind, I'm just saying, if you're honest, then you got to admit what the Bible says on it. So, you go through those references with an individual, and they've read it, and you've asked them each and every time on it. Now, before you move on to the next one, now, according to that passage, however you want to word it, doesn't matter. According to that passage, where is redemption? And they've answered in Christ. They see that point, in Christ. If they mark in their Bible, have a pen, make, take some pencil and tell them, underscore that in your Bible. Underscore redemption, and then in Christ. And do that on every one of them. But before I would do anything else, when I got through these references, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go all back through them again. Now, not flip in the Bible and read them, but I'm just going to go down the list. Now, Cindy Lou, where is redemption at? In Christ. Now, where is no condemnation? In Christ. Where is sanctification? In Christ. All the way through. Hope, triumph, new creature, liberty, children of God by faith, spiritual blessings, forgiveness, promise of life, salvation. And guess what their answer must be on every one of them? In Christ. See how simple? Then, I just simply ask them, okay, all I want you to do, I want you to just open it up. And that's the reason I put it like they didn't put anything on the inside. Because after I go through that, I want them to open it up. I've got some questions for them. The first question, are these blessings found out of Christ? And I've got yes or no. There's but two answers and only one right. Not three ways about it, not four. You got two choices and both can't be right. And so I'm asking, are these blessings found out of Christ? Yes or no? No. Lucas shook his head. No. I agree with you, Lucas. No. They're in Christ. And then two passages of which I told you recently, you've got to know. It doesn't matter to me if you can quote them. You got them written in your book and they've been there for a pretty good while. It's Galatians 3 and Romans 6. If you continue to use King James Version Bible, or the version that you're using now that has it in Romans 6 and Galatians 3, 75 or 100 years from now, You're still at it. It's still going to be Romans 6 and Galatians 3. It'll still be there. And I'm going to turn and have them read these passages just like I had them read all the others. In Romans chapter 6 and in verse 3, what does he say? Thank you, Martin. Now, you may have go back to chapter 1 just to establish with him who the us is. And just show them that he's talking about Christians, to all the saints that be at Rome. Romans 1:7. And so Paul says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, because you want them to see the point of how one gets into Christ. And there's only two passages in the New Testament that answers that question, Romans 6 and Galatians 3. All these other ones tell us what is in Christ, but these two passages tell us how to get into Christ. And then in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27, we read 26 earlier, but now watch them both together. Now, notice this next question. According to these verses, how does one go from being out of Christ to being in Christ? What would you put in that blank? By baptism. Well, how do we know that? Well, the Bible says. It's not guesswork. It's not a supposition. It's not an assumption. It's not, I think so. I believe so. No, we know so. You know it does. Because the text says so. And so make sure that they write that down. Now, and just ask them, now, what are you writing in that blank? If they say, well, it's being baptized. Or if they say, I'm still not quite sure. Go back and have them read the verse again. Don't answer it for them. You want them to say, you want them to reach the conclusion, not do the work for them. They've got to come to that conclusion based upon what it says, and they see it for themselves. So, what'd you put in that blank? They say, baptism. Anytime if I say with someone, have fill in the blank, I'll say, well, that's what I got too. I wonder how we arrived at the same answer. We must use the same book. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalm 133 and verse 1. Got the same answer. We use the same book. Now, what's the next question? Is one in Christ before or after baptism? What are you going to put in that blank? After, not before. And I guarantee if you study with someone in denomination, they're going to say before. Or maybe not at this point, but they have been taught before. You're saved by grace, faith alone, and accept the Lord into your heart, and then you're in Christ, and we'll baptize you later, and it's a good thing that you need to do, but if you don't, you're saved anyway. You're not going to get this far in this little short study and reach that conclusion. It's after baptism. And then the last question. Since salvation is where? In Christ. That was our last point over there, 2 Timothy 2:10. Is one saved before being baptized? Yes or no? No. Well, you think that the majority of the people that you might study this with are just going to immediately jump up and tell you to come on to the baptistry? Probably not. I mean, I wish I could say that everyone that you run this by is going to gladly receive it, but chances are they're not going to. Well, I don't know. I need to give it some more thought. Well, I still feel like I'm okay. I mean, if you were to get to the last question, say, since salvation is in Christ, is one saved before being baptized? And if they were to say no, and then if you were to point out to them, now, you told me that in becoming a Christian that you said the sinner's prayer and that you were baptized later. What does that tell you about your conversion? They may look at you and say a number of things. They may say, well, I feel like I'm still okay. There was one fellow told me before, I was baptized once, I'm not doing it again. And he saw what you see, just in a different lesson. What do you do then? Our time's almost gone. But what do you do then when someone says, I'm just not sure. I feel like I'm okay.
You offer to study with him some more, and if they just refuse it, then you just go on with it.
Yeah. Offer to study again. What are you not sure about? Ask them what they're not sure about. Well, I think I'm okay. Well, I understand that. Let me ask you, does the Bible say you're okay? Does the Bible say you just answer those questions? You can't. I just suggest for all of us to not end a study and just leave. Well, and I've done it in the past too, and I'm telling you, this is the wrong thing to do. I think in my just inexperience of it, not whatever, just, well, okay, if I can help you, kind of, you just let me know. I appreciate the time to study with you. Don't do that. Do you think they're going to call you? Probably not. Probably not. If anything, when can I come back and study? Well, I'm not sure. Next Tuesday, okay with you? Well, I'm busy. I work in the morning. I'll be here at 6 o'clock in the evening. You got to nail down. We let too many folks go. And I don't mean go in the sense that we need to be hostile with them. I'm just saying that that soul is gone, and we probably never will have another opportunity with them. Chances are. Pretty simple. You use that. If you didn't mark on it, use it. Run you some copies. There's a copier back here. Put it to use. If you marked on it and you want a blank one, you let me know. I'll give you some. But that'll nail it down. Folks, we'll see that point. Any thoughts or questions about that? I ask you this final question. Suppose you go through that and someone says, I want to be baptized. What do you do? Yeah, they've been taught the truth. They know what they're doing. They obey. Now, there's some studies that we'll hopefully go through this quarter that you can also use. But they need to be taught. They need to be taught about what baptism's for. They need to be taught about the Lord's church. They need to be taught about what they're doing and why they're doing it. And we can go on and on about that, but tonight our time is come and gone. I'm over 3 minutes. Any other thoughts or comments? Take and use this. I appreciate your good attention.